Unit number 2123, Mark Yoder Jr.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily as a retirement community to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in northwest Fort Hundred, Sussex County, containing 43.748 acres more or less. The property is located on the southeast corner of Hickman Road and University Drive, and 911 address is 6939 Hickman Road, Greenwood. The tax map is District 530, Map 9, Parcel 4, and Parcel 23. Staff would note for the record there's a site plan, a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, and that's all we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson, would you or Ms. Cornwell want to just expand on why this qualifies in this particular district, since it is a bit of a unique situation?
Yeah, so, and I know, Mr. Ross, you'd asked me that, and Ms. Cornwell and I had talked. It's sort of interesting in that they've applied in the agenda. It's multifamily as a retirement community, straight multifamily. There's a question about whether that could occur here because it's not in the developing area under our comp plan. But this is not just straight multifamily either. Multifamily with sort of an assisted living component with, a healthcare component, kind of all wrapped up into one. It's sort of a hybrid that doesn't necessarily fit one specific category within the AR1 zone. And I will admit my first thought on this was it's multifamily, and if it's multifamily, it has to be slotted in a certain way that may not work in the AR1 zone. I think it, because it's a combination of several things, I think it's appropriate to go forward as a conditional use like they've applied. It's going to be obviously up to you all to determine whether it's appropriate in that location under the code.
I think a good way to look at it is it's a hybrid residential use. That includes multiple different functionality.
And I guess a question along those lines, and maybe this is part of your presentation, but not to sort of steal
Can we get your names on the record?
Sure,
we're going to start a discussion.
Yes, I'm Mark Yoder Jr.
And my name is Dave Heatwall.
Okay. And your address, Mr. Yoder?
I'm sorry.
Your address, your street address?
8289 Greenwood Road, Greenwood, Delaware.
And yours, sir?
I'm representing Mr. Yoder tonight. I'm with Morris Ritchie Associates.
Okay, so you're an attorney.
I'm an engineer.
You're an engineer. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Mr. Robertson, go.
Sure, thanks. Are these units, are they going to be, how's it going to be set up? Are they going to be sold as condominiums or owned by the company that runs the
restaurant? Okay, they would be owned by the company. Sold. We sell life leases. They're not condos. They're individual houses. They would, based on how things have been going lately, they'll probably average 1,600 square feet per house. Again, we sell life leases, but we own the house. And at the end of that time, then we pay back to the estate family what is still owed, but we retain ownership of the house.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry to... I hope we didn't throw you off your presentation.
Yeah, throw me off because I didn't really come here prepared to just make a very big speech. I don't know if you guys have our information.
We do.
I figured if you have questions, I'm here more to answer your questions. I think it's pretty straightforward what we'd like to do. We already have a bit of a pattern, a blueprint of what we've been doing. We have an existing 47 houses that are around the country rest home there. The plan that we have, the dream that we have is basically to expand what we're already doing across the road. I started this dream in the early 90s with a lot of uncertainty about what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, and some things just kind of became more and more evident what people needed and how it worked. The new part of what we're doing is that the units under one roof, independent living. We're hoping to have some assisted living there, but a lot of that will be independent living for people under one roof, having their own apartment, but able to come to a place where they can get a meal together, that kind of thing. But I'm really here, I figured if you had this, if you've been out there and seen what we do, you might have questions for me, and I think what we've presented here is pretty straightforward. I don't think you need a lot of speech from me.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, sir?
No, nothing additional to that.
Okay. Well, the commissioners will ask questions, and we'll have a nice conversation here. Mrs. Hoey Stevenson, if you want to begin.
Before we do that, I just want to make sure you all realize that it's your burden to make a record. You know, I mean, that's great that you want to rely on what's in the book, but, you know, the responsibility to make a record to get this approved, this body makes a recommendation to county council, falls on you all. I'll just point that out.
Well, I guess speak here what we are actually planning so that it's on your record if this isn't sufficient. But we are planning to build 35 independent living homes. They will be each individual. We've requested to under the one roof, the 45 independent living units that would be under one roof. And again, I think some of those are going to still be figured out a little bit how we're going to do that. I think the scope of this project is pretty clear. It's a lot of open space there. There'll be, again, in my mind, what you see of what we've already done is pretty clear of what we're going to be doing in the future.
This is an expansion of your existing.
It really is an expansion of what we're already doing.
So I think I have a pretty good idea what you do, but let's just put it on the record. So this is going to work that people, is there an age or a require, what to come live in one of these homes you want to build, is there a certain age or a certain level of
care?
Care. That's a good way to put it. Thank you.
Yeah.
That'd be needed.
For the independent houses, it's, when people come, I would say, I tell them we are 55 and older. We don't, we're not mean to grandchildren if they show up, but we don't want a lot of children that take residence here. It's to be a quieter community. We try to be flexible, and if a need came up where somebody was younger, I don't actually have this strict rule that somebody under 55 couldn't come in if it seemed like it was appropriate. But that's a recommendation age. A need, no, I think people come there very independent. We have some folks here tonight that are from our community, and we have this thing, if you move into our community, you live forever, so, you know, needs eventually come up, but it's...
But the concept is you move into the independent housing, and then if you need more care, you can move into the home.
We are considered, by the state of Delaware, a continuing care community. Mm-hmm. That probably needs some definition for some people, but it really does mean that when you get there, we do have the nursing home. We have right now a very small kind of mini assisted living. We want to expand that. We're considered, once you get there, we're supposed to be able to complete the level of care that's needed.
Is that guaranteed? If you have...
You mean that you will never have to leave my community?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
In a sense, yes. That if all of a sudden everybody in independent living broke their hips, do they have a place that they can get more?
You know, this is my policy right now for people, that if you need a nursing home bed and I don't have one, we will provide staff to come and take care of you in your home until we have something.
Okay.
I'm not saying it couldn't get tedious depending on...
Well, I'm assuming that that type of thing would not happen, but I was just curious how that plan works out, that if you're moving there with some guarantees that
you
would be cared for.
If you were actually to look at, and I think it was in the record somewhere, we put a very simple agreement out there that really says, I mean, it's a page and a quarter, and I've done what? Well, we have 47 houses, and many of them are second, third time through. Mm-hmm. So this thing has worked pretty well, but one of the things that we say is we will work through difficult or new or challenging situations as graciously as we know how. And I feel like that's how it has worked. I'm not promising. You know, Yeah, I don't have a...
You have an excellent reputation for what you do. I just want to make sure that...
I can't promise, I don't want to promise too much, because there are things that I don't know what can happen. You know, we don't know what would happen if a tornado went through there and some things like that, but then that's true for anybody in any situation, right. I think.
Okay.
That's
all I have.
Can you still throw straw bales all the way to the top of the wagon?
No, but if you want to play golf, I still come.
Throw golf balls.
I remember one hot summer day baling straw. It was my first experience. I was about 14. I'm guessing you were just married, and you were amazing how you could throw those bales.
I appreciate that, but
you look like Charles Atlas.
Oh my. Those days are gone. Gravity is taking its effect.
Gravity.
I do remember feeling a little hurt when somebody else could throw a bale farther than me, but I'm no longer offended by that.
Well, that probably didn't happen very often. No, I don't have anything.
Mr. Hudson, do you have any questions?
I have no questions.
Ms. Cornwell, the zoning of the existing facility that they have now, is it the same? How did we handle that then? That was before your time.
It is conditional use.
It actually has a special use exception for a portion of it.
Okay.
It went through, I think part of it went to the Board of Adjustment. It kind of has expanded over time, mm-hmm. and it finally went through a special use exception to get some of that addressed.
And this marries to that, okay, as far as our approval, or if we were to approve this the way it is with the multifamily housing, it marries to the existing use zoning-wise?
I believe it would work.
Yeah, it would.
Okay. And then the other question is I think that is an ag district on the back of that back portion. I believe the development rights have been sold to it. I'm not positive. But there are some setback restrictions from the ag district that you want to make sure you double-check when you try to do your final site plan, okay? Just check with the Department of Ag, DDA, and check what the setbacks are from those ag districts. And then you're very near the dairy, as we can see through the aerial. Do you have something in your agreements or some paperwork that the people that live in the homes are aware that they're in an ag area and that, you know, sights and sounds, odors do tend to carry, and so that there aren't complaints against the existing
right.
agricultural uses?
Those chicken houses are no longer being used and will be most likely torn down, hopefully relatively soon. But yeah, there is a dairy farm not far from us, and I don't have it in any of my literature that be prepared for spring and fall spreading a manure, but it doesn't take long for people to realize it does happen, and this is southern Delaware.
Sure. Well, I'm just concerned that, you know, somebody will come out and maybe not be so familiar with agriculture and look at it and say, man, this is great. It's in a quiet area, which it is. They know your reputation, which is excellent. And then they don't realize the things that come with an ag area in the spring in about another 2 weeks or so, I think, or even sooner. Maybe. They're going to realize it?
You know, I will tell you this, and we're not for everybody, and I always tell people that. I always try to give a very clear picture of what we do, where we're at. We're far from a hospital. I mean, relatively speaking, we're not. And I just try to be very open with people about that and very aware that we're not for everybody. And we've been there since the early 90s. I think I can say this. If you would have asked me a few months ago, I said we've had two people that left not very happy. One wanted to get back to her grandchildren in Newark. The other, and some other things came up, and now she wants to come back. And so it's worked. I can't promise that there would never be anybody unhappy, but my commitment to people has been, if you get here and you don't like it, I'll make it as easy as possible to leave.
Sure. And then the last question is, and I don't know if we can address this in the conditions or not, but I realize these are not rental houses. That's not what you're asking for. But Can we put something in the conditions to stipulate that these would not be used as rental houses?
How would you want me to do that?
We would just put it in our conditions and
well, the rental, but like, I think the point, like not short-term rental or, you know, that it stays what you've proposed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit of a, you know, something we'd have to think through, but.
What I would be just a, I mean, I'm a pretty, when I say I'm going to do something, I feel very duty-bound to do that. But there are times now when I might be in between. I know I have a sale for this house and that coming next spring or whatever, and then I'll allow somebody to rent a house until that sale comes up. I mean, but again, within keeping with what we do, I don't suddenly put in a family with six children out there, but I'm just saying that I would be a little uncomfortable saying I can't rent this on a rental basis, on a monthly basis for a while, if I don't have to put that in there. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not anxious to turn this into a low rent subsidized housing at all, but I would hate to be told I can't rent this on a monthly basis.
I guess the concern would be from the county, and I totally agree with you, you know, on that, but because unfortunately we often learn from our mistakes too, and you know, we don't know what your personal situation is going to be or the company that owns this. And if we talked about that, this is a sort of a hybrid development, and without some sort of condition like that, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, it could become something else entirely. You know, so that's the commission's going to have to decide that. And I think the commission will be sensitive to both your concerns and the county's as well. So that's something we'll have to noodle through, I think.
We will. We'll have to be very thoughtful about that. When is the council public hearing on this?
By the way, I really appreciate your question about that. And you do know that these houses cannot be sold individually. It would seem like a really, really totally irregular thing for somebody to come in and want to buy this to be a rental kind of thing, because they would have to buy the whole thing and they'd have to honor every agreement that I've already made.
Well, not necessarily. See, so this will be approved as, like, this kind of goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, as a multifamily development. So that's true from your perspective, but once approved as a multifamily development, and again, not that you would do this, but somebody could turn around and turn the whole thing into a condominium regime and start selling off every house as an individual condominium unit and either rent the assisted living as apartments or turn those into condominiums. And then we've got something completely different than what we anticipated. So, you know, it's kind of, I think the commission looking at this as a bigger...
Yeah, I didn't realize that was even a possibility. So well, I can understand that's a very valid concern.
Well, as was said at the outset of our meeting tonight, you know, the code, it tells people what they can do. And so it is, in certain areas, it's kind of broadly written. And so this is what we're noodling through.
Right.
And why we have conditions. Again, Ms. Cornwell, when is the...
May 15th.
And this is March the 22nd. So, you know, I think we should have as our goal to noodle through this as a commission so that we have, what we do is we make a recommendation to council. And we'll have a motion that if we decide to recommend approval, our conditions will be there. Hopefully we can do that in a timely fashion before the council has its public hearing, which gives you an opportunity to read this proposed conditions. And then you can further comment on them at that time. Okay, but we'll try to be sensitive to the situation, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mrs. Walsh, do you have any questions? Mr. Whitehouse?
No, thank you.
Ms. Cornwell?
And I actually have a few.
Yeah, she has a few.
So regarding the larger building, are there full-time 24-hour staff members? You know, how does that building function?
There will be, but I feel like I also need to say that we're still figuring out just, you know, how much of this will be actually assisted living, how much of it would be independent living. We're still in, I feel like, a learning curve of what's going to be needed, wanted. And so I feel like I'm a little bit handicapped to be able to tell you how much, but somebody's going to be in that building 24/7.
Okay.
That I will tell you.
And it sounded like there's going to be a place for people to get food in that building.
That
so is there a cafeteria, and is that open for?
That'll be open for everybody.
Everybody on that side or
yes.
both sides of?
It'll be available to all the existing community as well.
Okay, and are there areas for recreation in that building? Or is it, like, is there a common open space?
There's some common open space, but there's not, like, I mean, I don't know what we've set up as far as a rec room and swimming pool, that kind of thing. We don't really have that planned at this point.
But there's, like, some type of just
Dave
open space room. Sorry.
Well, you need to address that, because I don't know what you put in that building.
Well, that building is just a placeholder. We don't have the design for that building yet. So the intention would be to have some recreation spaces,
okay.
you know, some wellness areas. Definitely a cafeteria is important as, you know, as we age, like the smell of food awakens people. But all of that has to be planned out.
And then how are you addressing water and sewer?
So we're going to do private systems that are permitted through the state.
Who's going to be the operator of both of those? Do you know at this point? Does anybody have a CPCN for it? I guess that's
what
the
do
question.
I have?
There is no CPCN for this area, and both we're going to have a licensed water
right.
operator and a licensed sewer operator.
Okay. Do you know who that's going to be?
Well, I actually have those licenses, which I'm hoping
okay.
I can. I'm not. Yeah. It's time for me to be having somebody else do some of that. I can't always stay in the seminars I have to go to. So, you know. I tried really hard to get on Greenwood septic
right.
and water.
Yeah.
And let's just say I was clearly not wanted. And so we're working to get things so we can do the septic there, and we'll put in a well and hopefully treat it and whatever's needed.
So just for the record, like our septic system, Denrec has three tiers. PSN3, which is typical for homeowners, like if you're in the inland bays and have a septic system, you have to have a unit that goes in your septic tank. And then this falls under the PSN2, which takes you down to 10 milligrams per liter. A little bit more treatment, but it's still the basic system. You have tanks, you know, settlement tanks. It comes in, it gets pumped through some different treatment units, and then back out to septic beds, and then PSN1, which is 5 milligrams per liter, and you know Sussex County, like all the main treatment plants, have to meet that criteria.
Those were my questions. Thank you.
So is it going to be one central sewer system, and then there'll be a gravity or some conveyance
yes.
system?
Yes. So we'll have. It's back in the corner there by the chicken houses. So those tanks will be underground, and then there'll be a little building there, but you know they're basically a big septic tank, and then equalization tanks, and then two treatment chambers, and then it gets pumped to the system.
It gets pumped to those wastewater treatment areas
right.
that are in
yes.
the middle.
Right. Yeah, and we're currently working through the permitting of that.
Yeah.
It's a big undertaking.
Yes, it is a big undertaking. Yeah. Be honest with you, it's a little scary.
So I also wanted to know just some of Denrec's requirements for the maintenance and operation of that system. So every year when you go back to get your permit, this is considered a large system. So the owner's got to have an escrow account that's got to cover all the mechanical parts plus 50% of the cost to install the system. You know, you've got to keep that escrow account, and it's got to be a legal agreement, you know, that's renewed every year. You've got to provide financials. There's a whole list of stuff. You know, you've got to provide documentation addressing long-term management of the system. So it's quite detailed what they require to operate a system like this.
I do have a quick question as a follow-up about the septic. Is it being sized to accommodate the larger building at this time as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Roberts?
No, that answered my question. Just who's the engineer of record? Because we've got plans that are by Pannoni and then Morris Ritchie.
Morris Ritchie.
Oh, okay. Never mind. It came with the packet, so I wasn't sure.
Sorry, you got the wrong one.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. If you have a seat nearby, Mr. Yoder, and we'll see if anyone has any interest.
Apologies to the guys that came to speak for us. I know it's been a long night. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Public hearings do tend to drag out. And believe it or not, we have more work to do after we get done here tonight. Is there anyone like to speak in favor of conditional use 2123 Mark Yoder Jr. in favor? Yes, sir.
I prepared something.
Oh, wait. You got to wait till you get up to the podium.
Get to the mic there.
My name is William Wright, and I live at 7623 Becker Drive, which is in Mark Yoder's development. And I wrote this out because I can speak better than trying to remember everything.
That's fine.
Sally and I moved from Dover to Long Neck on September 26, 1995. We moved from Long Neck to Greenwood Country Retirement on October 9, 2004. We had been looking for a small house which would require very little maintenance and found a house in Lincoln with a for sale sign. I called the realtor and she told me that that house had already been sold. So she suggested that I call Mark Yoder and mention that he may have the type of home that I would be looking for. She gave me his number, and I called him, and after talking to him, I was convinced that he was just what Sally and I needed. We got together and discussed my options, and 14 years later, I am still there. The greatest thing about living here is we do not have to mow grass or shovel snow. Mark supplies all appliances for each house that he builds, and if anything doesn't work, we put in a maintenance repair request, and we have found that any maintenance and repair request is taken care of within 8 hours or sooner. After we moved in, we decided to receive a call from Nancy and Bob Layton, who are also here tonight. And Nancy and Bob wanted to know how we liked living here. I could only tell them how happy we were for moving here. And also Jim and Jan Knox called me at one point. Now, Jim has deceased since they moved there, but Jan is still there. And they moved in when Mark had a house available. I'm 86 years old, and I am thankful for being at Greenwood Country Retirement because I can relax.
Thank you, sir. Would you mind giving that paper to Ms. Cornwell so she can have it for the record?
That way we can make sure it's in our minutes and our record.
There you go. Thank you so
much.
Thank you
very much.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
Name is Robert Layton, and I currently live with my wife in one of Mark's homes at 7624 Oldfield Drive. And I'll tell you, we couldn't be happier. Mark's been a wonderful landlord, if you use that term, and we're real happy, and we're very much in favor of the development proposed across the street, because we're at a point now, I'm 87, and we would like to downsize a little bit. We currently have a 1,600 square foot house with a double garage, and we really don't need that big of a home right now. So if there is something across the street, like a smaller apartment or something like that, we would be ready to go into that. And also, hopefully we never have to take advantage of it, but there's a nursing home right there on the property, and they're more than happy to help us with any of our needs. So we hope we never have to go into a nursing home. But I can tell you that we're very happy and we're very much in favor of this development right across Route 16 from where we live now. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to help you put your mind at ease about this thing.
Thank you, Mr. Litton. You're doing very well for 87 years, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Come on up. Great.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Well, since I'm here, I might as well say something. I'm Nancy Layton. So I live at 7624 Oldfield Drive, too. When we first moved in, there was a lady in our circle who had had back surgery, and she wasn't able to shower or get dressed and do some things around the house. Well, Mark's provided someone to come over and help her for a few hours a day, and she recovered 5-6 weeks after that, and today she's driving her own car and moves about. You never knew that she had had back surgery and couldn't move too much. As far as the smells, my husband's always kidding. He's lost his sense of smell, so he never knows. He never knows when the manure is being spread in the area or the chicken house is so smelling. But we're just very grateful that we moved there, and we're very happy there, and the whole atmosphere is just of warmth and friendliness, and they just make you feel good, and they're always anxious to help you.
Thank you so much.
What you're saying is I don't smell good.
we'll strike that from the record. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you got
to. You can come on up either way. Yeah.
I'm not opposed to this at all.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Could you bring the? My name is Gretchen Klein, mm-hmm. and I live at 8 Bay Oak Drive in Lewis. Could you bring the map of the development in relationship to the? To the land around it. I'm totally a point of information. All right. You have one that actually shows the. This is the one that I'd like to present.
That we don't have that. I don't have that. No. They brought it themselves.
This looks to be farmland in here, in this area.
To the rear of it, it is.
Yes. Yeah, to the rear of it, and this is road. I just wanted to mention one of the things that Secretary Key told us about. If you have land adjoining a parcel like this, and they use any sort of aerial fertilizing, insecticide, whatever it is, the people that actually apply this from airplanes, if it is, they are limited from doing aerial spraying within a certain distance of a, I don't want to say heavily populated, but a residential area that would be this, I don't want to say congested, this built up, all right? So there will be some effect on the farmland that adjoins this. So I just brought it up as a point of information. This is something that came up with the...
Sure, I think that's the reason for the ag setback from the preservation. I think that's the reason for the increased setback area from the ag district. So it's supposed to, and hopefully if the aerial operator is following his procedures, as we all have a license to do that,
it would limit the amount in other words, there would be a certain amount of the neighboring farmland that would not be able to be sprayed because of its close.
I think they still would, but the flyover is going to be tight.
Yeah. I was going to say, having grown up in this area and been able to wave to the pilot as he went by the field, I think we're good.
Anyone else like to speak in favor?
Just waiting to find out what I've got.
Anyone like to speak in opposition? Seeing no one rise, anyone on the commission have any questions? Ms. Walls?
None for me, thank you.
Ms. Cornwell?
No more, thanks.
Mr. Roberts?
Nope, no more,
okay.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. That's all of our public hearings.